Well, hello and welcome. I'm glad you have joined us today and hope that you're having a great day. It certainly is a warm afternoon. It almost begins to feel more like early summer than late spring. But God has given us a beautiful day. He wants us to know Him. He's given us this time together. And I'm glad that you've joined us in this time. And I'm thankful that the Lord has chosen to draw us close to Himself. And I hope that these times are a blessing to you and that they're helping you walk and grow in your relationship with the Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, we thank the Lord for giving us this time, who desires to speak to us. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You, O Lord, for the day that You have given to us. Father, just for Your love, Your grace. Father, Your mercies, which are new every morning, O God. Father, thank You that You have brought us here today because You want to speak to us. You want us to know You. You want us to grow in our walk with You. You want us to be closer to You. And Father, I pray that that is fulfilled today. Father, that this not only blesses us in this time, but through the rest of the day, and in fact, through the rest of our lives. Speak to us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we think about being before the Lord, I was going to say this afternoon, which it is for me, but it may be this evening or this morning for you. But as we think about being before the Lord right now, whatever that time is for you, I wonder how your relationship with the Lord truly is. Are you close to Him? Are you walking in fellowship with Him? Do you know His nearness? Or could it be that you have possibly drifted from Him? Could it be that your heart has grown somewhat cold? Maybe there's sin in your life that you know is between you and the Lord and is keeping you from fully experiencing Him. Perhaps as we come together before the Lord this morning that you're needing revival. Now, I know when we talk about revival, we usually think about a planned, scheduled event, and those are certainly helpful. But by revival, I'm talking about a time of personal renewal of our heart before the Lord, where we're truly revived within our heart. And as we think about it, if we are distant from the Lord, if we've grown cold, certainly if there's sin, we're in need of revival. But what do we need for that in order to take place? What do we need to do to experience that revival? Well, we get some ideas as we open God's Word today to Psalm 85. And it's talking about renewal and revival of Israel. And certainly you saw a glimmer of this when a remnant came back from the Babylonian captivity. But in a fuller, deeper, ultimate sense, you will see it in the kingdom age when our Lord, in fact, returns and establishes His kingdom. But in this, we see the process, what Israel needed to do to experience revival, whether in a small scale or the ultimate fulfillment. And by looking at that, we see what we need to do to experience revival. As we begin looking at this psalm, the first thing that we deal with, both in the psalm and also in our experience, and that's how I want us to look at this psalm in the order, if you want to call it that, of our experience, is the fact that we need to deal with sin. We need to deal with the sin that has kept us distant from the Lord, that's come between us from the Lord, that's caused us to drift or stray away from the Lord. Think about what we read in verse 1. O Lord, You showed favor to Your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. Well, isn't that what we want? Isn't that fact that we want to be renewed and once more experience God's favor? Isn't it our desire to have restoration? And again, the return from Babylonian captivity certainly was a small picture of that, ultimately to be fulfilled when our Lord reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Israel gets to experience Him as their King. But in a very real sense, is a picture of what we need for God's blessing and renewal. Well, when is that experienced? Well, keep reading in verses 2 through 3. You forgave the iniquity of Your people. You covered all their sin, Selah. You withdrew all Your fury. You turned away from Your burning anger. They only experienced the renewed favor of the Lord, at least the renewed experience of the favor of the Lord. They only experienced the restoration from captivity when the iniquity, when the sin was dealt with, when God's righteous anger toward them and their sin had in fact been dealt with. If you and I are truly going to experience revival, we're going to, in fact, have to deal with our sin. even if it's just growing cold toward the Lord, even becoming lukewarm like Laodicea in the book of the Revelation, that sin is going to need to be dealt with. Anything that has cooled our devotion, lowered our love and adoration for the Lord, or led us into sin, is in fact needs to be confessed and by His grace repented of. But is that enough? I mean, will dealing with the sin really cause us to once more experience the closeness of the Lord? Well, it will. Notice what we read as we look at the basis of dealing with that, because it all comes down to what it's based upon. Look at verse 10. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Well, think about that 10th verse. When has loving kindness and truth met together? You know, the truth is, before we come to Christ for salvation, we are sinners and alienated and hostile toward God. The truth is, as believers, if we go into sin, we lose our fellowship with the Father. So how in the world can we have loving kindness and truth at the same time? Because the truth, you know, testifies against us. The latter part of that verse, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. God's awesome, perfect righteousness that demands sin to be dealt with, how can that and peace kiss each other, have a close relationship? There's only one way and only one place, and that is in Jesus Christ. All God, who became all man to take our sins and our sinfulness upon Himself. He is the very loving kindness of God, and He is, in fact, the truth of God. He is the righteousness of God. He is the peace of God. And only in Him can all of that be reconciled together. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we have the forgiveness and cleansing. Certainly, first of all, in salvation, where we are born again, but then in our ongoing walk as believers, only through Him. And look at the result of that when we deal with our sin by coming to Him, first of all in salvation, but as believers through confession and repentance. Look at verse 11. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. You think about the wonderful experience that is there, and we have truly dealt with our sins. And what a wonderful invitation to salvation. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, He, this one who puts loving kindness and truth together, who is in fact the two of them together, this one who is righteousness and peace, invites you to be born again. If you're a child of God and have allowed sin to come into your life, He invites you to come to Him through confession, repentance, and receive His cleansing. But if we're going to experience revival, if we're once more going to have God's favor and experience the restoration of captivity that we see there in verse 1, we're going to have to deal with our sins, as we see in verses 2 through 3, based solely upon Jesus Christ in verse 10 and accepting His invitation in verse 11. It is only by dealing with the sin through Christ. But then look what we build upon that. Yes, we deal with the sin, but we trust God's grace. Now we see the prayer and the desire of the psalmist. Look at verses 4 through 7. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord. Isn't that our desire? To be restored, to be right with God, to be renewed, to be once more in His loving kindness. But after what we've done, how is that in fact possible? Well, again, remember verse 10. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Through Jesus Christ for salvation, first of all, then for the ongoing cleansing of our sin as believers, through that wonderful grace, there is in fact the cleansing and the restoration. You think about what the psalmist described in verses 12 through 13. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before Him and will make His footsteps into a way. That wonderful experience of restoration that God, in fact, gives us Through Jesus Christ, there is cleansing and forgiveness and reconciliation. Through Jesus Christ, there is, in fact, revival based upon the payment that He Himself made on the cross at Calvary. But we need to deal with our sin. We need to trust His wonderful grace. But then lastly, we need to walk in obedience. Genuine revival, true revival, doesn't just result in emotional feelings as so often happens in revival meetings, and that is wonderful if God's Spirit has truly worked and moved on an individual and in a group. But true revival will be seen days, weeks, and months later in a desire to walk in obedience unto the Lord. And if revival has truly happened, there will be a change in heart, not just from what we were doing before, but in a desire to walk with Him. Think of what we see in verses 8 and 9, particularly the latter part of verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will say, for He will speak peace to His people, to His godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Again, the true essence of revival is the desire to walk in obedience. But let them not turn back to folly. In other words, let them now walk in obedience unto the Lord. You look at biblical characters who experienced a time of revival. It always resulted in that desire to be obedient to the Lord. You think about times where God moved in the hearts of His people. For instance, the reign of good King Josiah, who led a revival for the nation of Judah. What did it culminate in? A covenant to now walk in obedience as God's people. You look back in church history, times of revival, it always resulted in a desire to walk in obedience. You think back in your own life, times when you have experienced revival, if it was real, if it was true, if it was genuine, it resulted in the desire to walk in obedience. And if we have truly dealt with our sins, if we have truly trusted God's grace, then it will result in a walk of obedience. And it will be in that obedience that we experience the blessings of revival. God, in this psalm, was calling His people back to Himself. Possibly in a small way when they return from Babylon, certainly in a greater way in the future. But the pattern is there. He's calling us to revival. If you have strayed, He's calling you to revival. Certainly in salvation if you've never come to Christ, but specifically for believers, that you may return to Him. And so again, I ask you, how is your relationship with the Lord? Have you grown cold? Have you drifted? Have you allowed sin in your life? Follow the pattern that we see in Psalm 85. Deal with the sin. Trust His loving kindness. That's the only remedy. And walk in obedience. And you will experience the wonderful revival that He wants for you. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. And O God, Your patience, Your mercy, Your goodness. Father, Your grace in giving us this time to look at this psalm is a way of inviting us, O God, back to Yourself. Lord, lead us to examine our lives, Father, and anything that is there that is displeasing, dishonoring unto You, causes a break in our fellowship with You, Lord, may we confess that today. Father, for anyone who is watching this, who is not a believer, by Your Spirit, O God, lead them to place their faith and trust in Christ, to be born again, to be forgiven. And, O Lord, may all this be done based upon Your loving kindness, Your grace, because that's the only remedy. And, Father, may the reality of that be seen in a walk of obedience. Father, be with us, we pray, and may we experience You through this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you are enjoying fellowship with the Lord. I hope through this time, if you were distant from Him, that has been remedied. And I hope you experience the fullness of His grace and love and mercy as you go through this day. And may you have a great day in Him.